chapter 26, Behold Your God. In Isaiah's day, the spiritual understanding of mankind was dark through misapprehension of God. Long had Satan sought to lead men to look upon their Creator as the author of sin and suffering and death. Those whom he had thus deceived imagined that God was hard and exacting. They regarded him as watching to denounce and condemn, unwilling to receive the sinner so long as there was a legal excuse for not helping him. The law of love by which heaven is ruled had been misrepresented by the arch-deceiver as a restriction upon men's happiness, a burdensome yoke from which they should be glad to escape. He declared that its precepts could not be obeyed and that the penalties of transgression were bestowed arbitrarily. In losing sight of the true character of Jehovah, the Israelites were without excuse. Often had God revealed himself to them as one full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. When Israel was a child, he testified that I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Tenderly had the Lord dealt with Israel in their deliverance from Egyptian bondage and in their journey to the promised land. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. My presence shall go with thee, was the promise given during the journey through the wilderness. This assurance was accompanied by a marvelous revelation of Jehovah's character, which enabled Moses to proclaim to all Israel the goodness of God, and to instruct them fully concerning the attributes of their invisible King. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. It was upon this knowledge of the long-sufferance of Jehovah and of his infinite love and mercy that Moses based his wonderful plea for the life of Israel when on the borders of the promised land they refused to advance in obedience to the command of God. At the height of their rebellion, the Lord had declared, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them. And he had proposed to make of the descendants of Moses a greater nation and mightier than they. But the prophet pleaded the marvelous providences and promises of God in behalf of the chosen nation. And then, as the strongest of all pleas, he urged the love of God for fallen man. Graciously the Lord responded, I have pardoned according to thy word. And then he imparted to Moses in the form of a prophecy a knowledge of his purpose concerning the final triumph of Israel. As truly as I live, he declared that all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. God's glory, his character, his merciful kindness and tender love, that which Moses had pleaded in behalf of Israel, was to be revealed to all mankind. And this promise of Jehovah was made doubly sure. It was confirmed by an oath. As surely as God lives and reigns, his glory should be declared among the heathen, his wonders among all people. It was concerning the future fulfillment of this prophecy that Isaiah had heard the shining seraphim singing before the throne. The whole earth is full of his glory. The prophet, confident of the certainty of these words, himself afterwardly boldly declared of those who were bowing down to images of wood and stone, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Today this prophecy is meeting rapid fulfillment. The missionary activities of the Church of God on earth are bearing rich fruitage, and soon the gospel message will have been proclaimed to all nations. To the praise of the glory of his grace, men and women from every kindred, tongue, and people are being accepted in the Beloved, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. In the vision that came to Isaiah in the temple court, he was given a clear view of the character of the God of Israel, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, had appeared before him in great majesty. Yet the prophet was made to understand the compassionate nature of his Lord. He who dwells in the high and holy place dwells with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The angel commissioned to touch Isaiah's lips had brought to him the message, "Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged." In beholding his God, the prophet, like Saul of Tarsus at the gate of Damascus, had not only been given a view of his own unworthiness, there had come to his humbled heart the assurance of forgiveness, full and free, and he had arisen a changed man. He had seen his Lord. He had caught a glimpse of the loveliness of the divine character. He could testify of the transformation wrought through beholding infinite love. Henceforth, he was inspired with longing desire to see erring Israel set free from the burden and penalty of sin. "Why should ye be stricken any more?" the prophet inquired. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well." The God whom they had been claiming to serve, but whose character they had misunderstood, was set before them as the great healer of spiritual disease. What though the whole head was sick and the whole heart faint? What though from the sole of the foot, even unto the crown of the head, there was no soundness but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores? He who had been walking frowardly in the way of his heart might find healing by turning to the Lord. "I have seen his ways," the Lord declared, "and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him." The prophet exalted God as creator of all. His message to the cities of Judah was, "Behold your God. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. I am the Lord that maketh all things. I form the light and create darkness. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. To whom will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one faileth." To those who feared they would not be received if they should return to God, the prophet declared, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." The heart of infinite love yearns after those who feel powerless to free themselves from the snares of Satan, and he graciously offers to strengthen them to live for him. "Fear thou not," he bids them, "for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not. I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." The inhabitants of Judah were all undeserving, yet God would not give them up. By them his name was to be exalted among the heathen. Many who were wholly unacquainted with his attributes were yet to behold the glory of the divine character. It was for the purpose of making plain his wonderful designs that he kept sending his servants the prophets with the message, "Turn ye again now every one from his evil way. For my name's sake," he declared through Isaiah, "will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another." The call to repentance was sounded with unmistakable clearness, and all were invited to return. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found," the prophet pleaded. "Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Have you, reader, chosen your own way? Have you wandered far from God? Have you sought to feast upon the fruits of transgression, only to find them turned to ashes upon your lips? And now your life plans thwarted and your hopes dead, do you sit alone and desolate? That voice which has long been speaking to your heart, but to which you would not listen, comes to you distinct and clear. "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. Return to your father's house." He invites you, saying, "Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Do not listen to the enemy's suggestion to stay away from Christ until you have made yourself better, until you are good enough to come to God. If you wait till then, you will never come. When Satan points to your filthy garments, repeat the promise of the Savior, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Tell the enemy that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Make the prayer of David your own. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." The exhortations of the prophet to Judah to behold the living God and to accept his gracious offers were not in vain. There were some who gave earnest heed and who turned from their idols to the worship of Jehovah. They learned to see in their Maker love, mercy, and tender compassion. And in the dark days that were to come in the history of Judah, when only a remnant were to be left in the land, the prophet's words were to continue bearing fruit in decided reformation. "At that day," declared Isaiah, "shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images." Many were to behold the one altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. "Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty," was the gracious promise made them. Their sins were to be forgiven, and they were to make their boast in God alone. In that glad day of redemption from idolatry, they would exclaim, "The glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us." The messages borne by Isaiah to those who chose to turn from their evil ways were full of comfort and encouragement. Hear the word of the Lord through his prophet. "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee."